We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
You know, if you haven't checked out What Chaos yet, you oughta, because we've had all your favorite players on the show. I'm talking Seth Jones, Lena Solmark, Connor Bedard, whoever it may be.
We're live every day on YouTube at noon Eastern, but also available on all podcast platforms, including the one you're listening to right now.
We got guests, and yeah, we're also doing a bit of chit-chat, goofing around, laughing at what makes us laugh in hockey.
So regardless of how deep you are into your hockey fandom, come listen to What Chaos. We'll talk about your favorite team, we'll talk about your least favorite team, and everybody in between, and we're having a ton of fun doing it every single day, Monday through Thursday. It's What Chaos, presented by All City Network.
Welcome into the CHGO Blackhawks podcast presented by DraftKings Sportsbook, America's top-rated sportsbook. Download the app and use promo code CHGO when you sign up. Happy Friday. I'm back. It's Jay Zawoski with Mario Tirabassi. Greg didn't want to see me, so he took a couple days off. Understandable.
He'd rather go to Iowa.
Yeah. Just completely cleanse his week of me, which I think my wife and family would like to do too, but it's good to be back. I'm feel like Jared Tenorti a little bit with my mouth all jacked up, but happy to be back. Of course, I take a week off and a bunch of news happens, but that's how it works. So I'm actually glad that a lot of stuff happened so you guys had some stuff to talk about and some time to kill, because, yeah, last week, that would not have been great to be shorthanded.
Yeah, I mean, you know, we get a little bit of news. We got a couple anniversaries, as we always do this time of year with the Blackhawks. But yeah, it's been good. It's been a nice early June week, especially when there's no hockey to talk about. The organization's completely done playing hockey from all their prospects and everything. So yeah, it's good to have a little bit of news. And honestly, like, you know, it's nice to have like a pretty much unanimous, like, hey, these are good things. Like, these are good decisions being made.
Yeah. Yeah. That was definitely nice to see. And the Darren Pang thing, totally out of the blue. We had no indication about that at all. We had Colby Cohen on, was it last week? We had Colby on, or maybe the week before?
Might have been the week before.
Yeah. And there was no indication that he was going to take on a different job, but boy, what, I mean, talk about it, knock it out of the park hire. Great for Vosters. It's great for the organization. You talk about having a face on your broadcast that's going to sell the product and push the product. Darren Pang is a great guy, a super nice guy, awesome with the fans. He's ecstatic to be back in Chicago. So I'm really excited. I think it's just going to elevate everything, because a lot of the stuff we talked about last year with, you know, people who are a little bit critical of Chris in his first year, but he was also kind of thrown a curveball early and said, you know, Eddie O decides to walk away for whatever reason, whoever you want to blame. And then he stuck with this rotating group of partners. And that's tough to overcome, especially in your first year, especially the first time covering hockey full time. So now you get Darren Pang in there to really give him an education, not only on the game, but on being a broadcaster too. And I think that's going to pay huge dividends, and Darren will be the face of the broadcast and just let Chris do what he does. And I think it's going to instantly elevate everything. And then, of course, you know, we look at what happens to the rest of the broadcast. Is Chris Chelios going to come in now that his ESPN thing is up? And, you know, it all, everything elevates because of the Darren Pang signing. But I mean, when that news came out, that was shocking. It was just like, whoa, that was possible. You know, it just felt like Darren Pang was going to be with the Blues forever.
Yeah, I mean, it, you know, we touched on it a little bit, but, you know, with kind of everything happening, you know, on the business side of things with broadcasts and, you know, the Blues broadcast is underneath the Bally flagship right now. So, you know, negotiations, contract negotiations for Pang seem to not go the way that he wanted. And yeah, I wonder, you know, from what he's, the story he told to Scott Powers, I believe it was Scott Powers in the Athletics wrote about it. You know, that team started to, you know, call and show interest in him. And, you know, he was still doing his TNT responsibilities for the playoffs. So he didn't even know exactly who was reaching out to him with potential opportunities. But, you know, when it was known that it was, you know, the Blackhawks were among them, you hear how he talks about, you know, the opportunity now to come back to Chicago where his broadcasting career and his playing career started. And, you know, his playing career, he only played for Chicago. So, you know, even though he's been with the Blues for almost 15 years, like, you know, he's got those Chicago roots. And yeah, I think the consistency and the credibility is what's going to be best for the broadcast. And, you know, the Athletic fan poll that came out that said the Blackhawks had the, according to fans, the worst TV broadcast last season. Those fan polls have been favorable to the Blues in the last couple of years where they've been, you know, amongst the top five. So I think getting someone from that group that, you know, Blues fans really enjoyed having, a guy like Darren Pang, getting that to be a part of the Blackhawks broadcast is going to be really beneficial. And I think it's going to be a lot of fun. And they, the team, the organization, they know more eyes are going to be back on the Blackhawks this year, especially regionally. You know, I can't tell you how many times, you know, I talk to Blackhawks, you know, people who I know are Blackhawks fans or people who, you know, say like, oh, I've been a fan for, you know, so many years or whatever. And it's just like, ah, I'm not even watching them this year. It's just like, yeah, I get it. You know, the on ice product, if you're looking for, you know, I just want to turn on my TV and see a competitive hockey game and hear a good broadcast. You know, last year didn't seem like it was a year for those people. So now the on ice product is going to be more fun to watch. So I think the team understood that they needed to make sure that the broadcast had some consistency and had some credibility to it. So bringing in Darren Pang, I think, is a really good move. And I think, you know, there seems to be an open door for Patrick Sharp. However, he wants to be involved. Doesn't sound like, I feel like this move came because they didn't get a full commitment from Sharp. And Troy Murray, I'm sure, you know, as good as he did on the TV side, I'm sure he wanted to, you know, stick with John Weidman, stick with the radio gig and, you know, have that be the, you know, that's been a staple for how many years, 15, 16 years now. Yeah. Those two have been doing it together. So, probably even longer than that, if my memory serves me correctly, but I mean, I think he probably wants to, you know, be a little bit more comfortable in that zone. So yeah, I think, you know, Darren Pang presents a tremendous, addition and, you know, it's sad to see Colby leave because, you know, I think he was getting his footing in Chicago in the market. And, you know, he has a ton of perspective and really good insight to bring. And, you know, it just seems like, you know, mutually on both sides, he wanted to, you know, be able to be closer to family, closer to home. You know, he just had his first child. Like, so I get it. Like, I get wanting all those, you know, those comforts to be there. And it's hard to be away from family and friends and be away from, you know, all that when you're at that stage of life. So, you know, I'm sure he'll continue to work with Daily Faceoff. I know he was doing that, since the off season started for the Blackhawks. So good to see that he'll definitely, have opportunities out there for him as well.
Got a comment from Design Love and says the person I will miss honestly is Colby. Honestly, when he first came in, yikes, but I was 1,000,000% wrong. He was super informative. And I think especially I agree with you, Mario, that it does kind of suck to see Colby go, not just from a personal standpoint. He's always been awesome to us, really good guest, super insightful, but the timing of having him and his knowledge of college hockey with so many college prospects in the Hawks system, that had some value. But I get it. You got to go do what's right for you. And maybe he saw, you know, with Peng coming in, the writing on the wall for him a little bit, and decided to go with his gut. And whatever he does, he's going to be successful. He's really talented. And I think Hawks fans were just a little bit angry about how things went with Foley and how things went with Eddie O. So anyone in those chairs really wasn't given the fairest shot in the world. But I definitely think that Colby improved and got a lot better and shortened up his answers. And the info is really good. So it is a tough loss, mm-hmm. both personally and professionally. But overall, the broadcast improves. And I think Peng, and we'll move on from this because I know you've probably done a bunch of it all week, but I just want to get a couple thoughts in.
It's your first opportunity to talk about it. Yeah.
Yeah. I think Peng is also kind of the perfect guy to come in a mentor sort of a role. Just personality wise, he's just really easygoing, happy go lucky, loves his job. And I'm not saying Eddie wasn't by any means, but they're just different personalities. And I think when you look at Darren Peng's personality and Chris Voster's personalities, those are going to go together pretty well. They're both very optimistic, positive, high energy kind of guys. And I think that broadcast is just going to sing once they get the rhythm. So I'm really, really looking forward to that. I'm a little bit rusty. Forgive me. Don't forget to smash that like button for us. Make sure you are subscribed to our YouTube page as well. Make sure if you're listening on your favorite podcast app that you are following or subscribe there, and leave us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts or Spotify. If you get the chance, we would appreciate that. The other thing I want to get to before we move on to our memories of the 2010 Stanley Cup is the Andreas Athanasiou signing. And it's funny when you see the people out of town looking at the, you know, reacting to the contract and saying, why are they paying him that much money? It's like, don't worry about it. They could pay him $10 million if they want to. It's all about getting to the cap floor, but happy for him. I'm wondering how he'll do, you know, kind of feeling like he's got a little bit of security, not feeling like he's on the trade block. And I really do think if we think back to the end of last season in those exit interviews, how impressed Luke Richardson was with his ability to play center. And I think that will be a need next year. I think a lot of people are assuming he'll be with Bedard. I think it depends on whether Bedard starts at center or wing, but I think he's going to get an extended look at center because he really seemed to find his game when Luke Richardson made that decision kind of based on necessity, right? They didn't have a lot of guys that could play center and they said, all right, let's see what he can do. And he did pretty well. And Luke said repeatedly, it suits his game very well. You know, that, that center role where you can kind of wander and create a little bit. So curious to see what the approach is going to be with him, but got no problem with the deal. I think there's more things like this coming. You're also kind of looking at what the Blue Jackets are doing, bringing in Provorov, bringing in Damon Severson today. Something like a Severson move is something that could make some sense, right? Like a guy with an expiring deal that they trade a mid-round pick for to bring in, I don't know if it's a defenseman, could be a forward, could be anything, kind of like we talked about with Garland and Besser and those sort of things. But I think more stuff like that is coming as well. So, I think we're going to have a very busy offseason.
I mean, the Severson deal was a sign and trade. So he signed a long-term deal and then went to Columbus. And yeah, I mean, it's very interesting seeing what Columbus is doing. It feels very, previous GME of like, hey, I'm sick of these young kids, you know, F them kids. I want some real players ready to go. So it's an interesting thing. I know they didn't give up any young players to really make those deals, but they're giving up picks. So it's interesting to see what Columbus is doing. And I think with Athanasiou, you know, he said he wanted to have a little bit more stability. I don't think the market was going to give him much more than what he got with Chicago. No one's really going to invest too much time in Athanasiou, given, you know, the I know he had a one of his better seasons to his career standards, but you know what he brings to the table is not necessarily something that a team is going to be like, yeah, let me lock into 3-4 years of that. So I think the 2-year deal is good for him. They confirmed the deal 2 minutes after we went off the air yesterday. I knew it was going to happen too.
Of course.
But what was interesting, I touched on it yesterday. What's interesting about his deal structure is that year two of the deal, the 2024-25 season, he gets a $2 million signing bonus, July 1st. So his actual dollars, his actual salary in dollars, that means a little bit more to the team than the cap hit when it comes to trade deadline time, is only 2.25 instead of the full 4.25. So I think that is an interesting tidbit about the deal because, that makes it a little bit easier to move at the trade deadline if the Blackhawks are looking to do that. If not, then hey, it's still a $1.25 million pay increase for two seasons beyond what he got to come and play for them last year. So I think the playing center fit him pretty well towards the end of the year. I think Luke Richardson liked the chemistry that he had with Lucas Reichel. So I think there's a chance that, maybe it's Reichel and Athanasiou paired together on one line. And if they want, try Bedard at center, maybe Athanasiou and Reichel play, second line and Bedard's, whatever line Bedard's going to be on, that's your top line. So if Bedard is centering, Tyler Johnson and Taylor Radish or whatever, sure, that's your top line. But yeah, it'll be interesting to see how that's all utilized.
Yeah, I'm interested in that for sure. And if Athanasiou does get paired with Bedard for any extended period of time, it's going to work out for him well. The way it did with Max Domi, where his numbers are going to go up naturally just from being on the ice with that guy. And then maybe after 2 years or at next year's deadline, not next year's, but the 2025 deadline, teams are like, well, this guy, he's got 30 goals 2 years in a row. Maybe we should make a move for him. And then get a second or third for him and call it a day. But even if they get nothing for Athanasiou at the end of the 2 years, it's fine. It's really just money. It's really just getting to the cap floor and filling in a body where you need one and someone that can play in your top six and on the power play and everything. Of course, the versatility center wing we've talked about. So also, we got a couple super chats I want to get to. Got one here from Windy City Hockey who says, do you think Sharp could take up an ambassador role? I think he's still going to be part of the broadcast. I don't know how – are they really still doing the ambassador thing? It doesn't really seem like it. It seems like a McDonough thing more than anything.
I think it's evolving. I think that kind of role is evolving because, they still bring out guys like Chelios and Savard and, Andrew Shaw was at, the red carpet for the home opener last season. So they still bring out those players. I don't think they necessarily are tabbing them as Blackhawks ambassador, like they did, years ago when it was Stan Mikita and Tony Esposito and Bobby Hall and all those guys, Savard as well. I don't think that they're necessarily labeling it Blackhawks ambassadors, but I don't see any reason why Patrick Sharp wouldn't come back for some, publicity in Chicago and, help pump up the Blackhawks a little bit here and there. I feel like he would be fine doing that. I think, like we said, I think he'll still, if he wants to be part of the broadcast, I think he'll definitely be welcomed to be part of the broadcast, maybe fill in for when Darren Pang has to do national TV for TNT or anything like that, or serve in a studio role, something like that. I think he'll be around. I don't think this was the last. I don't think last season was the last time we see Patrick Sharp for a while or anything like that.
No, and keep in mind too, rewind to when the ambassador program was introduced. That was John McDonough and Rocky Wirtz mending fences that had been severed for years and years and years with Bobby Hull, and not so much Stan and Tony, but Bobby Hull the most. And those guys got paid to be ambassadors. That was part of the acceptance back was, hey, you know what? We know we kind of screwed you up. We know we forgot about you and, have kind of tuned you out over the last few years. Here's however much, six figures a year to come and be in the suite every night and shake hands with season ticket holders. And we'll call you an ambassador and we'll honor you and put you out in a 57 Chevy and call it a day. So it's a little bit of a different thing. The Hawks don't really have those fences to mend with Patrick Sharp and Marian Hossa and all those 2010, 2013, 2015 Hawks that'll be making their ways back over the next few years. So like you said, it's a reimagining more than anything, but yeah, I think, most of those guys will be welcome. You mentioned Andrew Shaw. I don't know how much his comments a couple weeks ago change anything for him, but I'd be surprised if we see him anytime soon after that. That kind of blew over. There wasn't a ton of coverage of that, and there wasn't a ton of reaction. The Hawks never made a statement or anything, but I think distancing themselves from that for the time being is probably wise. Go ahead.
No, okay. we talked about it already. So,
and then Nick's got a super chat, $5. Thanks, Nick. He says, I know it's a dumb question, but why would the Hawks interview the other prospects if they're sure about taking Bedard? I shouldn't worry, but still. Yeah, you should not worry. They're taking Connor Bedard. But it's never a bad idea to pick the brains of guys and say, hey, you know, 2-3 years from now, maybe Leo Carlson's on the trade block, right? Because it hasn't worked out. Maybe like Kirby Dach in Chicago, and they say, we had a really good interview with that kid. I really liked what he had to say, and maybe we can have a reclamation project here. They're just doing their due diligence.
Mm-hmm.
Who knows? Maybe Connor Bedard comes in and says something like, you know, I really hate that. I don't feel safe in Chicago. And then like that changes. You know what I mean? You never
right,
know.
So yeah.
You got to do your due diligence. It's all they're doing.
Yeah. And I mean, it's you, when you go to the draft combine, you're not just talking to the guys that you think you're going to pick. You're talking to teammates of players. You're talking to, you know, guys that, you know, think about the players that play together, you know, at the World Juniors or things like that. Or, you know, guy, you talk to Adam Fantilli because maybe you get some insight on a guy like Gavin Brindley, you know, and vice versa. You talk to, you know, you talk to guys like, I'm trying to draw a blank. You talk to the guys on like Canada's World Junior team to get the same insight that we got from the, you know, the trio in Seattle with Doc and Korchinski and Delma, and Allen. Man, I'm getting all fired up about prospects. You get those three and how they talked about Bedard as a teammate. You talk to other guys that played, you know, with him on those World Junior teams or on, you know, with Regina and stuff. Like, you get the insight from teammates, not just directly from those players. And you're also, the combine is not just, you know, the top players. Like, there's over 100 players that are invited to the combine. And, you know, Ben Pope tweeted out yesterday, the Blackhawks are interviewing somewhere between 65 and 75 players. You know, the Blackhawks have 12 picks to make. So you need to talk to all the guys that you have on your board, guys you don't have on your board that might impress you, or guys you have on a board that might concern you. And, you know, I think you just got to get as much information from these kids as possible, get to know them as much as you can, in the final, you know, days leading up to the draft, just like you would for a GM or a head coach, position. You talk to as many people as possible, you get as much information as you can, and just see what you can gather at this point.
Speaking of prospects, make sure you go to allchgo.com and check out the stuff that Greg and Mario have been working on, building draft profiles for all these upcoming prospects. Become a diehard while you're there at allchgo.com and get a free shirt or hat upon sign up and access to all of our great written content, 20% off all merch and events, including our trip to Nashville, which is going to be a lot of fun. More on that coming up in a little bit. But yeah, those draft profiles are flying out. And I think tomorrow is Musty Butt Day, if I'm not mistaken, right? That
was
what Greg teased.
Musty Butt Week is coming up. Yeah.
Yeah. So get ready for that. Allchgo.com. Really good stuff. I'm going to start writing some of those too, but I've been in a medicated haze, and I sat down yesterday to try to do one, and I saw like kind of the template that Mario laid out, and my eyes were just like, I don't know what this is. I don't. The Norco is kicking in.
We don't need any. We don't need any medicated typos or anything like that.
Watching highlights of Gavin Brindley, I really liked the purple unicorn he was riding on his way to the breakaway. Yeah, we didn't need any of that stuff in the draft profile. So I'll start knocking some of those out too. But great stuff as always at allchgo.com. And make sure you take care or take advantage of the Father's Day sale we've got going on right now at the merch shop. So if you're a diehard or you're not yet, go to chgolocker.com, take advantage of that Father's Day sale. It is buy one, get one 50% off at chgolocker.com. You got to place your orders by Monday to guarantee Father's Day delivery. But stock up, get your dad some sweet CHGO merch, chgolocker.com. Buy one, get one 50% off right now at chgolocker.com. And if you want to get fitted out in some other stuff, do it with our friends at FOCO. You get the best sports gear around. Hoodies, shoes, signs, bobbleheads, banana hammocks, and everything in between. It is spring and it's baseball season. Get your Aloha shirts, your straw hats, your polos, your bags, everything you need for a game. When you see us on set at CHGO, We've got all those awesome bobbleheads and plaques and signs everywhere. Those were all donated by FOCO, and we appreciate them for that. Go to FOCO.com or click the link in our description below. And for all non-presale items, use the promo code CHGO, and you'll save 10%. That is FOCO.com, FOCO.com, code CHGO for 10% off. Stock up for your man cave, your she shed, or wherever else, and get some sweet Chicago sports merch or any team sports merch from FOCO.com.
Yeah, and if you're looking for things to pair with your great merchandise coming from FOCO, you can pair them with some great sunglasses from our friends at Shady Rays. They make some of the best sunglasses out on the market that help you take on the sun with gear built to last. Shady Rays has you covered for the warm weather that is happening right now with premium polarized shades at affordable prices. Shady Rays is an independent sunglasses company offering a world-class product that is just as good, if not the best, or better than any expensive pair that you or I have ever owned. They have durable frames and extremely clear optics for all of your outdoor adventures. And that's not all. Shady Rays offers the most insane protection in all of eyewear. Every pair of sunglasses is backed by their lost and broken replacements program. If you lose or break your pair, even on day one, they will send you a brand new pair, no questions asked, right away. Last summer, I dumped a pair of sunglasses into the chain of lakes that is safely at the bottom by now. I wish they had been a pair of Shady Rays so I could have gotten them replaced at no cost. You can wear your Shady Rays with confidence because they have your back after you purchase them. Together with their customers, Shady Rays is also providing much needed support to nonprofit partners across the U.S. through their Shady Rays Impact Program, from building play sets for pediatric cancer patients to providing young adults with MS the outdoor adventures of a lifetime. Shady Rays is making an impact in your community and others like it now and for years to come. And of course, if you don't love your Shady Rays, but you will, you can exchange them for a new pair or return them for free within 30 days. There's no risk when you shop. They always have your back, and exclusively for our great CHGO listeners, Shady Rays is giving out their best deal of the season. Go to ShadyRays.com and use promo code CHGO. When you do that, you're going to get 50% off of two pairs of polarized sunglasses. I know when you buy two pairs, I know that math checks out to buy one, get one. Try for yourself the shades rated 5 stars by over 250,000 people, including our producer out on the deck.
Whoa. Hey, it's a Friday, working from deck.
Looks great, man. I'm very envious right now.
It's a beautiful day here in Elmwood Park.
You got the birds chirping.
I'll be going to Johnny's Beef later, get a combo.
Oh, my God, what I would do for food I can chew. I've just been mashing stuff.
I'll get you a lemon ice. Those are delicious.
There you go. My friend, I'm going to see the dead tonight and tomorrow, and my friend's like, can you drink? I'm like, no. Can you smoke? No. What can you do? I'm like, lemon chill. I'm going to have all the lemon chill. I'll be like the little kid at the dead concert. Maybe I'll get the baseball hat full of ice cream. That'll be me. Yeah.
That's a good idea.
I've been mashing a lot of my food this week, so it has not been great. But get those Shady Rays. They look sweet. Got a new order coming in. Can't wait for those. It's going to look sweet for the summer here.
I'm excited for you and Jared Tenority just to swap war stories of all the milkshakes that you guys would have to drink to get your food together. I'm sure they're just as comparable.
Yeah. For those that don't know where I was, I had all 4 wisdom teeth pulled, and then I also had a molar removed that was broken from a piece of hard candy that I bit down on too hard and went, I'm like, oh, that didn't feel right. It was broken. So all that was done on Monday. And they said that my wisdom tooth here was like really embedded and my bone was real dense. So it was a lot more complicated than they had expected it to be. And they did a little bit of temporary nerve damage when they removed that tooth. So I am numb from the middle of my lip to like my left cheek. I can't really even feel what I'm doing right here. I'm just rubbing it. I don't even feel that.
Wow.
So like my teeth are numb. It's really hard to brush my teeth because I can't feel where I'm at. There you go. The gift from Little Shop of Horrors. Yep, that's me. That was me. But they did a great job. It was just like, oh my God. And the other thing too is I was told that I was out for the, but I guess I kept like putting my hand up. while they're operating on me and like crossing my legs. So I'd like keep upping my dosage of
you kept doing it?
Yeah, like I kept like raising my hand. Like, and I think I remember
you had questions.
I think I remember at one point just saying out loud, like, I'm okay. Like just talking in my sleep. I don't know. It was weird. Whoa. I've had the only other time I've had surgery, I had a retina detachment like 15 Ooh. Years ago, maybe whatever it was. And yeah. It was like twilight, so you're not totally out. And I remember like waking up for part of that and like seeing the doctor like over my eye, which was not great, but
Oof,
didn't feel gosh. Anything. So anyway.
I remember when I got my wisdom teeth taken out, cause I did the same thing top and bottom right away. I was completely out. They were like, okay, like count back from 100. And I was like, okay, 100, 99, dark. like it went real fast. And I don't remember anything. Like, it was just like, oh, out. And then I opened my eyes and it was just like, I was really groggy and they were like, all right, all done. And, I've never done drugs. That was the highest I've ever been in my life. And I remember my cousin, was having a party at his house that night, that I don't think my parents or his parents knew about. And I remember saying in the car, to my mom, cause she was driving me home. This was in high school. And I was like, can I still go to Jake's party? And she's like, no, what are you talking about? And, yeah, I think I actually got him in a little trouble. So, but
I must have dropped that. I don't remember. What party? What?
Yeah. Sorry. My bad.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was.
I have no recollection of the conversation with the doctor after, or my wife being in the room with me when it was over. I just remember going home and laying on the couch and sleeping. That's it. So anyway, it could have been a lot worse. I really liked it. I went in there today because I had like a stitch that was poking my gum and the doctor got me right in. She's like, I'll take care of it right away. And she did. And it's a lot better now. So, you know, just going a little slower than I'd hoped. I was hoping to be back Wednesday. But here's the advice. The final takeaway is when you're 15 or 16 and the dentist says, get your wisdom teeth out, don't wait till you're 45 because then you have to pay for it and not your parents. And it's much more difficult of a process than it would have been, you know, 30 years ago for me than it was now. So I waited and waited and waited. And now it's a lot worse of a recovery than it would have been had I just gotten it when I was supposed to get it. So there's my PSA, and I know no one will listen.
We got some comments in the chat from Chris and from Nate. They're asking about the beef shakes.
Oh,
are we getting beef shakes?
I might have to. So the only bonus is the last two nights last two mornings I've gotten up and I've gone to our local diner and just had omelets. I'm like, just give me three, like your biggest three cheese omelet. Today I added ham. I got a little daring and added some ham. And we went to Chipotle for lunch. So that was a step up, you know, with some carnitas and the little soft stuff. So maybe a beef shake is coming up in the future. Maybe I just put it in the beef sleeve there over my shoulder and shake it up. See what happens.
It's like the old McDonald's salad shakers.
Yeah, and I wouldn't know about that. I've heard of them. And Region Rev said, did you make a soft food menu for I'm Fat? All I ate, Region Rev, honestly, for the first 4 days was mashed potatoes. That's it. And guess what? That's the best part. Because I could eat mashed potatoes every day for every meal for the rest of my life. And looking over my shoulder, you see my new Cubs pennant? That's from Region Rev. She sent me that. Along with a bunch of other great stuff. So did a little CHGO merch for an old Cubs pennant swap. So Region Revit should be on the way for you. Your Sky shirt should be on the way soon. So got one more chat we want to get to from Nick on the Kyle Davidson stuff. Says, I think it's interesting that Kyle would consider trading 19 for more picks with how deep this draft is. Shows that he can think outside the box. Well, yeah, that's one of the things I like the most about him. And you mentioned too with the Athanasiou contract, the foresight to make the second year more affordable for a team taking him on in a trade. But what Davidson said yesterday was, I think it was yesterday, maybe the day before.
Yesterday.
Look, if we're at 19 and there's five players we like kind of equally there, why would we not trade down to 21, 22, bring in another pick that can be used down the road to do whatever you want with it and maybe trade up later or whatever? It makes perfect sense. So
yeah,
that's the beauty of a deep draft. And I know, I think maybe what Nick is saying is, hey, there's so many great guys in this draft. Shouldn't you just take one? And I think that's also a possibility. I could see them getting into the top 10. Here's the deal. Whatever they want to do, they can. Yeah. If they want to trade the rest of their draft to get 5, 6, 7, they could probably make that happen. There's probably a team that would say, yeah, we'll take 19 and whatever, whatever, whatever for you to move up. They can do whatever they feel they need to do. And that's Bedard aside, that's the bonus, right? You've already got the number one pick. You know, you've got your future stud, your probably current stud, your best player already in the bag. And also, you've got all these assets to negotiate and move up and down with and all around. It's I cannot wait for the draft. It's going to be so much fun. It's going to be chaos. Yeah. It's going to be like the three of us. Thank God three of us are going. Because it's just going to be just trying to cover it and keep track of everything.
I feel like after the first pick is made, after there's, the media availability that Bedard will go through, I feel like there's going to be a part of me that feels like something's going to happen in which we're going to have to split up. Like someone's going to have to go back and like cover something. Someone's going to have to stay with Bedard. Someone's going to have to stay in the media room because the Blackhawks just traded for the 8th pick or something like that. Like it's going to be, I have a feeling there's going to be some sort of fun, chaotic movement happening from the Blackhawks. But yeah, I mean, it's, all the options are on the table, and I think, you know, we've been so focused on the possibility of them trading up, and I know the idea of, you know, the Blackhawks trading up to number 11 with Vancouver has been thrown out there so much, but the option to trade back and to stockpile more picks either in this year's draft in the second or third round or next year's draft or anything like that, like keeping those options open, I think is really interesting. So if they don't trade up and you get, like you said, if they get to 19, this is from Davidson himself via Penn Pope. He said, if you're sitting there at 19 and there's five guys you like, maybe you look to move back because you can get one of those guys and keep banking assets. To say we're just going to move up is probably premature. So, I mean, yeah, you know, you look at the options that are there late in the first round into the second round. You know, we had a question, in our mailbag that we did on Monday, that was, you know, who do you hope falls out of, or maybe we did this on Tuesday, I can't remember, but you know, who do you hope falls out of the first round? Like, there's a lot of players that could fall out of the first round that are, you know, first round talented guys. There's guys in this that are, you know, looking at as being like, oh, this person is going to be in the 30s or 40s, that would be in the first round in other years. So, you know, if the Blackhawks were to trade back from 19 to like 24 or something, still get the guy they wanted and add like an extra second or an extra third or something like that, like, why wouldn't you do that?
No, of course. Nate says, are you going to be reacting live to the draft or doing a pod after? He said he needs to know when he can duck away from the family vacation. We'll be doing it after the first round. We'll be doing a reaction show. So after all that wraps up, we're going to head back to this is the plan for now. Subject to change, but the plan is get rid of, you know, handle all the first round stuff, head back to the Airbnb and do our show from there. And then the next day of the draft, kind of the same deal. We're going to be there rounds 2 through 7, covering it all. And then we're going to come on and do a post show. So we're not going to do any sort of live reaction stuff like we've done in years past, but we're definitely going to be there as soon as the draft's over for extended shows, extended reaction. We'll probably jump on, you know, Twitter spaces or something. We'll find some way to get with you live as it allows, you know?
Yeah. I feel like there will be opportunities for us to on social media, do some sort of live reaction to the picks that are being made. You know, we're going down as a whole crew. It's going to be the three of us along with producer Steven and Casey, our social media manager. Like we'll be whatever we need to do to bring the best content possible. We're going to make it happen. And then, yeah, we'll have the shows late Wednesday and Thursday after the drafts. We also have our CHGO meetup that's going to be happening on Tuesday before the draft. That's going to be happening at Hopsmith in Nashville. So if you're heading down to Nashville, go to allchgo.com/events. You can get all the details there. Join us for a happy hour that's happening from 1 to 4 p.m., and then that is also going to include in the ticket open bar for that happy hour. So you're going to be happy for more than an hour. That's for sure. And then you're also going to get some food, and included in that event ticket, you're going to get an exclusive, brand new CHGO Blackhawks design that will be dropping as soon as the Blackhawks make their first overall pick in the draft. I wonder what that design could be about.
I'm 98% sure what it will look like.
Yes, me too.
Yeah. So it's
can't wait to put, I can't wait to put that design to bed.
Yeah, there you go. That's exactly. Man, I'm still looking forward to this. Just like the, all of us going on a road trip together. Poor Casey sitting in our fart box that we're going to be driving down. Me, you, Greg, and Casey. We're going to get her some KN95 mask for the ride down. Poor Casey. But it's going to be awesome. This is like when we signed up for this gig, just over a year ago, this is the sort of stuff I dreamed we could do. And the fact that like we're making it happen and we're doing it and the company's like, hell yeah, let's go. It's awesome. So I hope if you're going, you join us. If you can't go, I know the Hawks are offering some cool opportunities as well. So go to the Blackhawks website to look that up. But if you're in Nashville, plus Wednesday, we're going to have something too. So
yeah, little taste of home.
Yeah, more info on that to come as we finalize things. But we'll be around Wednesday. But that'll probably be a less formal kind of an event because it's an all-day draft. So just, you know, come and meet us, say hi before we head over to the Bridgestone for rounds 2 through 7. So it's gonna be it's gonna be awesome. All right, we've talked a long time. We haven't gotten to the big anniversary yet. Today, June 9th, 2023, is the 13-year anniversary of the Blackhawks 2010 Stanley Cup, and it really sort of snuck up on me, maybe because of my week or whatever. But man, like when I think back to that, I had just had my daughter. My daughter was born, so my wife's labor really kicked in after Bufflin won Game 3 in San Jose. Yeah. That's like when my wife's labor kicked in. So as soon as that game was won, my wife like was like, all right, it's go time. Let's have the baby now. So that was May. Addie was born in the early morning of May 22nd. So May 21st. And then from then on, it was this blur of new baby and covering the Hawks in the Stanley Cup, doing post-game shows. And the night they won, I was on the air at the Score with Matt Abaticola, and I had the flu. I was sick as hell. Like, I almost passed out in my shower before I went to work, and I called my boss, and I'm like, I don't know if I can do this. He's like, you have to. He's like, I need you tonight more than any other night. I'm like, all right, I'm going to do it. So then the Hawks score in overtime, and me and Matt are supposed to go on, like, as soon as the game ends, but we're like, was that a goal? Like, what happened? Do we run in? Yeah. Do we not? So we had to wait. Then do that, and then doing this show in like the haze of the flu and all the emotions of my entire life waiting for that to happen and a new baby. It was just like, I think I just collapsed when that show was over. It was just all it was just this waterfall of emotion coming over me. And to get ready for today's show, I went back and watched the 2010 Stanley Cup Blu-ray. Remember those? Remember Blu-rays?
Yes.
And you forget, like, there was so much drama in those playoffs, man. That was the Nashville Game 5, obviously. It was the Willie Mitchell hit on Taves. It was the there was so much. And then the Hawks win the first two in Philly, then lose two in a row, or vice versa. Win two at home, then lose two in Philly. And it's just, man, like you forget when, as time passes, the snapshots kind of fade away, right? Like, you remember, of course, Nashville Game 5 and you know, moments here and there, but going back and watching that and hearing all those guys talk about it it's really a cool reset. And to see how young they all look too.
Oh yeah.
Oh my God.
if I remember correctly, like, isn't like, don't they interview like Makita and stuff in that too?
So it's Makita Esposito.
Yeah.
And then it's basically Sharp, Kane, Versteeg, Burrish, Taves a little bit, but not as much. And Seabrook. Those are like the main guys talking. And of course, Weidman, Murray, and Foley. And they're all just sharing their memories of it. And, you know, we were talking about this before the Cup final. And you think about championship seasons and how they all have these moments, right? Like, this was a marker. And that 5-goal comeback against Calgary that happened. Hawks were down 5-0, came back and won the game
early in the season.
And they all say that moment that game was when they knew that they had something special. And just think, like, from that game against Calgary, some meaningless middle of the week, you know, throwaway game that solidified everything. And then moment after moment after moment after moment leading to that Stanley Cup. And I feel like that's very similar to the Panthers, is they get in the playoffs like really unexpectedly. Same thing that happened to the Flyers, by the way, in 2010. They had to win their last game in a shootout to even get in. So I guess when you have an 82 games plus playoffs, everybody's got those stories. But
yeah,
it was just such a magical run. And that team, it's like, my God, like you think about the depth of that team. Of like, when's the last time we mentioned Troy Brouwer, who had a two goal game in the Cup final? Thomas Kopetsky, we don't even mention. When's the last time we said John Madden's name, and how huge of a part of that team John Madden was?
Mm-hmm.
It's just that, yeah, they're so incredibly deep.
The veteran presence solidifying down the middle, like all the small things that, you know, he brought were just, it was just like, that was the exact reason why he was brought to that team, you know? And yeah, like, it's just, you look to that team and you look ahead and you're like, oh, okay, you need to find this kind of player, this kind of player, this kind of player, like the chemistry and the makeup of a championship team. It, you know, the NHL is so copycat, but like, you know, the formulas are out there. And I think it's just interesting to see how teams get built nowadays, and you know, how, you know, through free agency, trades, draft, like it's all jumbled together. Some teams do really good just kind of piecemealing together a roster and it works. Some teams draft and they develop their own talent and they do it in a vision. And I think the Blackhawks, majority of that roster, I think, was drafted in, if I remember correctly. So it was that 2010 team, you know, was really built, you know, over a couple of years because of, you know, how you know, GMs up until that time, eventually taken over by, you know, the last GM before Kyle Davidson, you know, it was all built up, and then it worked out, you know, and it ushered in the next cup, you know, the three cup run. It's just impressive to see. And yeah, I mean, the Panthers, they've had multiple moments in this postseason where you kind of feel like, man, this team has really got, you know, it, quote unquote. And not to take away anything from the Vegas Golden Knights, like in the Stanley Cup final going on right now, like they waxed the Panthers in games one and two, but game three, another instance of where the Panthers are just like, this team has something special. You know, Matthew Tkachuk, late goal, overtime winner. Now, you know, you avoid going down 0-3 to an 0-3 hole, and now you make it a series. You know, now it's 2-1 going into game four. So it's, you know, it's yesterday, you know, with me and Kevin, we talked about, it was the 10-year anniversary of Patrick Kane's overtime winner, another Patrick Kane overtime winner in the playoffs, his double overtime winner against the Kings to send them to the 2013 Cup final. And how it's, you know, again, you know, just the moments that those teams had, like you could look and say, like, yes, that team was built to be a championship caliber team. They set the record in that shortened year, but you still got to come down to those clutch moments where it's just like you have those special players, and all those teams have those special players. And it wasn't just 19 and 88. Like, you know, you look at the contributions, like you mentioned, like, you know, like a guy like Thomas Kopetsky, a guy like Troy Brouwer, you know, you think about guys like Antoine Vermette, Michael Hanzus, like, you know, Johnny Oduya and what he provided during those years. Like, it's just really crazy. And you look back and you're like, you remember how spoiled we as Blackhawks fans had been for that run. Like, you know, the Boston Bruins, right? They've had this extended, you know, decades long run of being contenders, one cup.
Yeah.
Like it's really special that the Blackhawks came away with three in the time they did.
Yeah. And you know, the fact that like their picks, like guys you didn't think were going to work out, right? Like Bufflin was a late pick, and you know, you trade for Versteeg, and we already mentioned like Kopetsky, but like Ben Eager gives you a goal in the Cup final. You know, like just everything came together. It was really well built. It just, they had everything. And what was remarkable, and it was sort of reminded of this watching the the Blu-ray today was how they could just adapt their games. Game one of that cup final, I think it was a 6-5 final, just back and forth, nonstop scoring. Michael Layton got pulled, you know, for the Flyers, and Niemi struggled. And at the end of that game, the horn sounds and Taves comes up to Niemi, and Niemi's like, don't congratulate me. I played like shit, you know, like he's shaking his head like, no, I don't deserve this credit at all. And then the next game's real tight checking and super physical. And the Hawks are just able to adapt because, yeah, you've got Kane and Taves and Hossa and Sharp, but then you've got Eager and Burrish and Boland and Sopel and these guys that are willing to throw a hip check or crush somebody if they can. Then you got Buffalo who can play D or forward. And then he just parks himself in front of Roberto Luongo for a series, and that's the end of that. Like, it's just – and Duncan Keith loses his teeth in that – in the Sharks series. Like, there's just so many – I don't know. I just look back on it, and it's hard to do it and not smile. And I know, like, anytime we talk about this particular Cup team, we kind of have to do the qualifier of, you know – all while this was happening, the Kyle Beach stuff was being ignored, and it's unforgivable. And I was wondering how I was going to feel watching the DVD again and thinking back on that time. And one moment stood out for me from Christopher Stieg where he said something along the lines of, like, this team takes care of each other or something, like, we really care about each other. There was some comment about how they look out for each other or something like that. And that was kind of like, oop, reminder. You know what I mean? Like, it was like that little thing. And look, I pause to tell anybody how to remember this stuff. Like, if you remember it fondly and nothing of it has changed for you, that's not wrong. If you can't look at it and smile anymore because of what happened, that's not wrong either. I think everyone just kind of has to remember it the way they do. But it was hard for me to watch that and not kind of have that constant, like, itch in the back of my head of, don't forget this was happening when this happened too. And that Versteeg comment really stuck out to me as, yeah, like, we take care of each other. We got each other's backs. Or it was something, I should have written it down, but it was something along those lines. And, you know, and again, we've said since day one, I think there is a spectrum of knowledge here from the players of, I don't think everyone knew exactly what happened. I don't know if anyone knew exactly what happened, but I think most people knew something happened. So it's a little bit disappointing. But again, if you want to look back on, you know, February 9th, 2010 fondly, go for it. Do it your way. I don't think there's anything wrong with that, but I think it's just important to remember the stuff that was happening that was not publicized until a couple summers ago. So,
yeah. No, I feel the same way. I know I recently took some time, and I might even been just I think it was. I gotta remember what struck me to do it, but I did go back and watch some of the 2010 like championship video and stuff. Found it on YouTube because I don't have the Blu-ray anymore. But it was a little odd because it was just like, you know, all the memories rush back of watching that team, cheering for that team, all the, you know, celebrations that you experience in the playoffs. I remember, you know, all the personal experiences I had during that time. It rushes back, and then knowing what we all know now, it's kind of it feels a little weird. And I remember watching it just for a little bit and just being like, all right, yeah, you know what, I'm just gonna turn this off right now. I think it hits you at different moments. Like today, on a day like this where it's, you know, it's the anniversary of the cup winning goal and all that, you know, I think back to, you know, watching that game at my parents' house and, you know, celebrating with my family and my dad, you know, jumping off the couch and being like, you know, he scored, that puck is in. And, you know, he's running around the house like it's like he was Patrick Kane. And I felt like I was the rest of the team. Like, I'm looking at him, I'm looking at the TV, and I'm like, what is happening? And, you know, we're in the US, so we got, you know, Doc Emmerich's call. He's trying to do his best. He's just as confused as we all are at home. So there, you know, there's not even that realization until a few minutes later. And then just, you know, celebrating from there. And, you know, those are the memories that, you know, that don't go away, that aren't changed. But I think, to your point, you know, it is kind of the overarching feel of that team doesn't feel as polished and as shiny as it used to. So I think it's valid to, you know, keep that in mind of like, you know, this background incident that was much bigger than it was ever handled was also happening at the same time.
Yeah, I think that's an important thing to keep in mind. But again, if you look back on this day and still feel some warm fuzzies, I don't think you need to feel bad about that. I think it's all real. You know what I mean? And it's just to keep in mind, you know, it's just sports and more important things happen. But, you know, I wasn't sure how that was going to feel today. So,
yeah,
it was mixed feelings. That's for damn sure. But when I just think personally of, you know, my first big opportunity at the score and the baby and just everything.
Yeah.
And I remember the end of that show thinking about all my old friends on BlackhawkZone.com, which is the message board I frequented in the 2000s. You know, and I got to meet one of those guys. Whoa, I just threw my pen. The other week, Puck Jim, who's on our chats every now and again.
Oh, he's
part of BlackhawkZone. I got to meet him the other day out in Lockport. And I'm like, man, these guys, like I've known these people for so long, and I've made lifelong friends just because of the Blackhawks, you know?
Yeah.
And I think that's an important thing that, you know, to remember, and you share those moments. And I know Greg talks about blowing out his knee for a certain Hawk. I forget, was it National Game 5, I think?
Yeah,
he blew out his knee, and yeah, like we've all got those memories, and today's a day to, you know, look back on them however you want to. So a couple of people are mentioning Connor Bedard. Pictures are showing up of him doing the VO2 test on the bike, and people commenting how jacked Connor Bedard is. Yes, this is something that's going to become a little more visible in the next coming days and weeks. Connor Bedard is not tall, but he is freaking jacked. Like, you ever seen the pictures of Marty St. Louis' legs? That's what we're talking about. Like, he is Quadzilla.
Yes.
And it's only going to get, I mean, he's what, 17 years old? Like, they're only going to get bigger and stronger.
17 and will turn 18 later this summer. But yeah, I mean, he's definitely someone who is not, you know, yeah, you talk about not the biggest guy, but I mean, Sidney Crosby comes to mind. Not the biggest guy, but you know, when you're 5'10" and you're 200 pounds and you're a professional hockey player, hopefully that is a pretty solid frame and solid, you know, solidly built. You know, you're not Phil Kesseling it out there.
Hey, nothing wrong with that.
but no, absolutely not. He's you know, two wins away from getting his name on the Stanley Cup for the third time. But yeah, I mean, Bedard, he may not be the tallest guy, but I don't think we're talking about a guy who's going to be frail or, you know, looking like, you know, he gets, you know, he's not going to take one hit from Radko Gudas and his career's over, hopefully not. But you know, he's definitely going to be a solid player physically. Not that he plays a physical game, but he'll be a kid with a solid frame, and he's still going to physically mature, and he's going to get into an NHL training program. Like, yeah. I this is already someone who is, you know, eating like a professional athlete when he's, you know, a teenager, and has that kind of discipline that I think we all wish we had at one point in our life, you know, for physical exercise and stuff. So, yeah, I mean, it's, the people that are like, he's too small. I know there were people that were trying to downgrade him in draft rankings because of his size. Like, you know, just looking at a height and weight chart doesn't tell the full story. I think he's going to be just fine.
You're right. Sidney Crosby is 5'11", 200 pounds. At age 17, yeah. Connor Bedard is 5'10", 185. Like, he's going to put on weight. He's going to gain muscle. He'll be 5'10", 195, 200, and his 5 pounds and 1 inch going to be if he was an inch taller, I wouldn't have any concerns. But, yeah, I mean, would it be great if he was Eric Lindros too? Sure. That'd be wonderful. But, you know, yeah, he is. No, Roy said he's built like a pit bull. That is an accurate description.
Sure.
He's got like those legs. That's that kind of like, they're so muscular, they look like they're bowed. That's what he looks like. So yeah, don't worry about Connor Bedard. He's gonna be the pick. He's gonna be fine. He's not gonna get pushed around. He's gonna be a superstar. And hopefully, 13 years from now, we'll be remembering that draft and looking back on multiple Stanley Cups from Connor Bedard. That would be absolutely wonderful. I'll take one. I'll take one.
A-okay.
Yeah.
Well, what did EA simulate him to have?
I think it was three, right?
everything. Yeah, three cups, like a 20-time All-Star, 4-time MVP or something like that. Yeah.
Something like that. Let's see if I can find it.
That'd be nice.
Here, I got it right
here. Yeah, I think it was three cups.
That's it. What a loser. Okay, so like here.
1,800 points.
I found it, yes. Career simulation, 1,455 games played, 739 goals, 1,145 assists, 1,884 points. The Calder Trophy, 4 Harts, 4 Lindsays, 2 Richards, and 3 Cups.
I'll take that.
That'll do.
That'll play.
All right, let's wrap this up, man. It's been a long week. I'm just exhausted. Oh, yeah. I know I'm going to kick back, and I'm going to imagine myself drinking a beer tonight at the Dead Show because I can't yet. But if I did, Mario, what should I get?
Eventually, you will be able to enjoy some refreshing Goose Island beer. They are flying overhead, and they are the proud beer sponsors of us here at CHGO, and they've been Chicago's beer since 1988, and they have their summer roster ready to go. The Goose IPA, their 6-time medal winner at the Great American Beer Fest, always in style with a citrus aroma and bold hop finish. The Tropical Beer Hug, the dry-hopped Imperial IPA, which is a 9.9 ABV that is dangerously easy to drink. And the Full Pocket Pils, of course, the everyday beer. It is what the Goose Island beer brewers are drinking. And, of course, when the golden sun is nice and high, you can reach for a nice golden can of the 312 Wheat Ale, the staple of Goose Island's beer roster. And if you're in Chicago, go and grab an ultra-fresh brewery-exclusive beer at the Goose Island Original Brewhouse on Clybourne Avenue and in Lincoln Park. And you can also go to their tap room, which is on Fulton Street in Westtown. Again, that is the Goose Island Beer Company.
And if you want to save Monergy this summer, the ComEd Energy Efficiency Program is committed to helping families and businesses in the communities they serve by helping manage energy usage and lower energy bills now and into the future.
Yes, ComEd will do that because they offer a wide variety of incentives on lighting and other efficiency upgrades to commercial, industrial, and public sector customers of all sizes across their territory. ComEd also offers free facility assessments that can help find energy-saving opportunities, such as for HVAC systems, commercial kitchen equipment, or industrial processes.
Remind our handsome producer, Lawrence, how that works.
I will remind him. Lawrence, an authorized engineer will work with you to develop a detailed assessment plan specific to your goals and needs. These can be done in person or virtually, so you can stay out on your back deck and last approximately 2 hours. Within 3 to 4 weeks, customers will receive a report detailing energy efficiency projects that you, Lawrence, can start working on immediately. Each recommendation will include estimated energy savings, project costs, potential incentives, and simple payback. So if you own a business, do not wait. Get started saving money and energy, also known as Monergy, today. For energy saving tips, lighting incentives, or to schedule your free facility assessment, visit comed.com/poweringbiz.
Lawrence, comed.com/poweringbiz. Write it down.
Powering biz, right there, B-I-Z.
You literally B-I-Z. Put that graphic up. You should be able to see it.
Oh yeah, it's right there. I did that.
You can see it through your shady rays.
There you go.
There you go.
All right. Perfect. Thanks everybody for joining us. Appreciate it. Thanks for being patient this week. I think Greg's out Monday too, right?
Greg is out Monday. And I think that's the last day.
Okay.
I think Tuesday we're back to full strength.
Sounds good. Let's do Mailbag Monday on Monday. You know how to get your questions in. Twitter at @CHGO_Blackhawks. On our Discord, our CHGO Diehards members only Discord. Do that. And email blackhawks@allchgo.com. Don't forget, take advantage of our CHGO Locker Father's Day sale. Buy one, get one 50% off. That's all CHGO shirts June 8th through the 18th. But if you want it in time for Father's Day, you have to order by Monday. So get those orders in. Get them in quickly while supplies remain so you don't miss out on anything you want. CHGOlocker.com. Buy one, get one half off. Order by Monday for Father's Day delivery. Anything else? Sounds I think we're good, right?
I think we're good. We got Stanley Cup game four tomorrow, I believe. Yeah, that should be happening tomorrow.
Yep.
Vegas
is winning. Vegas
in five. I think it's in five. Yeah. All right.
I changed my mind. They're just too in control.
I'm not abandoning the Panthers pick. If they had lost last night, obviously I would have. But I think this. I think getting the win last night in a game that you know was kind of their style, I think that gets them back into the series. It'll be interesting to see if they even it up, or if they get the pressure put on them even more.
Yep, we'll see. Hopefully, there's a lot more hockey to go. All right, we'll talk to you Monday on the CHGO Blackhawks podcast.
Welcome to another round of Drawing Board or Miro Board. Today we discuss technical diagramming with systems architect Maya. Let's go. First question. You've spent 10 hours slogging over a sequence diagram that should have taken 5. Drawing Board or Miro Board?
Drawing Board. And if I'm being honest, Miro would probably cut that time down by half. You know, with its AI tools and ready-to-go templates.
Next, your diagrams become so bulky, it's more complex than the solar system. But all it takes is a few clicks and...
It's Miro. I've used those technical shape packs way too many times, and stuff is just digestible on its infinite online canvas.
Now, the final question. Everyone's brought in, but you have to make all these tasks all the way over in Jira. But wait, it's done. Is it...
Miro. Easy with its two-way Jira sync. Easy to plot dependencies. Everyone always knows what's up.
And she's done it.
Join over 60 million people creating technical diagrams without workflow glitches. Get your first 3 boards for free at Miro.com. That's M-I-R-O.com.